As we start our second hour, welcome back, or good morning, or good afternoon. Wherever you are, I am Jim Rome. Where you are is the jungle, and we are live. The program is brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We had a busy first hour. Tom Haverstraw came by. We had Nick Taylor, the winner of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Jason Lockenfora will be joining me at 40 past. It is a What's Your Beef segment hour.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
Sort of, kind of, close, Rex. Not quite that, but close. So if you have a beef, we are collecting them right now. Like, this guy went a different direction. Rome Slice. I don't have beef with the dude on the golf course teeing off with a lit lung dart hanging from his lip. That dude is awesome. Geoff and Lincoln. Hey, listen, why stop there? I would say anybody hanging with a lit lung dart from their lip, either on or off the golf course, is awesome. Smoking is so cool. Gotta love it, man. It looks cool. It tastes cool. It smells cool. It's clean. Not at all dangerous. And not at all offensive to people who don't smoke. Smoking rules. People who smoke walk around like with a catcher's mitt where their face used to be because they've got no moisture. It's all been sucked out by those lung darts. Good times, man. Green teeth. And a catcher's mitt for a face. Yeah, so I wouldn't limit that just to the guy teeing off. Who's got that lit lung dart hanging from his lip. It was such a proud day as a California native when they made this a non-smoking state. You might say, hey, Rome, I listened to your show for 25 years. Man, I've had your back when people are coming for you and talking about how much you suck and your show's horrible. That's it. That's the last time, Rome. I always had your back. Not anymore. Not after you took a run at me for being a smoker. All right. Cool. That's fine. Hey, listen, there was a point in time in my life when I did smoke, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. All right? I know. I've been there. I've done that. And I didn't just smoke. That rare time in college when I kind of went through this phase, Marlboro Reds, all right? So I know. It's a filthy habit, man. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, the bigger question is, what are the current betting odds that Hawk gets a handshake from Tiger this weekend? Well, if you ask Hawk, none. He just said his guy's not even going to make the cut. You going up there, Adam? Let's see, what else do we have here? 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for beef. All right, so the beef segment is coming up momentarily. In the meantime, we talked about Philip Rivers. Charger fan, look, I know you're out there. What's that feel like? The guy gave you everything he had. Put up enormous numbers, left it all out there. No, he did not win a Super Bowl. It just seems really weird to me that we could see Philip Rivers wearing a Titans uniform or a Colts uniform or a Tampa Bay Buck uniform.
Unstinking believable.
A Raider uniform. Anything but a Charger uniform. Which brings me, of course, to Tom Brady, who injected himself into the story by liking an Instagram post about Philip Rivers, when in reality, you know that's not about Philip Rivers. It's just not. See, that's the other part of the Philip Rivers news and the part that I absolutely hate. Because the Philip Rivers news should be about Philip Rivers. It should be about Philip Rivers and what Rivers did with the Chargers. It should be all about him and only about him. But there is somebody who just could not let that happen. There's somebody who could not let that story be only about Philip Rivers, and that somebody, of course, is Tom Brady. Because yesterday, the NFL's Instagram account posted a breaking news photo with the caption, Philip Rivers to enter free agency after 16 seasons with the Chargers. And then the post was liked by, wait for it, actually, you don't need to wait for it because you already know, it's that desperate pub hound, Tom Brady. He was all over it. That's right. Troll Brady liked the post because, of course, he did. And he knew exactly what he was doing. You know what that was not about? That was not about Troll hyping Phil. That was not about Brady hyping Rivers or praising him for an incredible run that he had with the Chargers or showing respect to a fellow gladiator for the great battles that they've had over the years. That was not about that at all. That was about Brady trying to rip the spotlight for himself. If you wanted to praise Philip Rivers, there are like a million different ways to do it. Liking that post was not one of them, because that's not what that was about. It was about liking the fact that the Chargers are going to need a new quarterback, perhaps. About Brady thinking, oh, no, they're not going into a new stadium with Tyrod Taylor. Oh, hell no, they're not. Now, what that was Brady trying to remind everybody that he is going to be a free agent and that he really might be done in New England. And one of the places that he might really think about going to is L.A., you know, because Brady, your child might have forgotten this, he's a native of California. He's from California. You know, and the Chargers make sense, right? He's from California. They're going into a new stadium. They need a quarterback. They've got a really good wide receiver, something he does not have in New England. And they really, really want him. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we know that. We know you're going to be a free agent, Tom. You know how we know that? You've told everybody like a million times. You won't let us forget. We know. It was interesting for maybe 5 minutes. Now it's just sad. Now it's just pathetic. You're the worst kind of desperate, Tommy. It's a terrible look, and you don't even know it. What is this guy even doing on Instagram in the first place? I've said it before. I'm going to say it again right here. Brady was so much cooler before he started to actually be himself and let everybody in. Before I knew anything about the guy, there was nobody I would rather smash a cocktail or five with. Now you couldn't pay me to do it.
Rome, Tom Brady's on the phone. He wants to hang out. Yeah, no. No.
I mean, take a look at yourself, Trolley. You're spending your offseason on Instagram, liking posts about transactions from other teams. I mean, damn, dude. I would tell you what I tell everybody else who is pissing their entire life away on Facebook and Instagram. Man, get a life. Seriously. Get a life. Tell that guy to get a life. Am I right, Jim Harbaugh?
Tell that clone to get a life.
And spend some time with your family. Travel. Unplug. Read a book. I don't know. Get in the gym. Work on your pliability. Man, just put your freaking phone down, dude. Do something. Anything aside from just sitting around trying to come up with new ways to make everything about you and your impending free agency. Because constantly banging away at that does not make you look cool. It's certainly not driving up your price. Your value as a quarterback is in the rings and the wins, not the posts and the likes. All this does is make you annoying. Although after all this junk, I'm having a hard time imagining how it could be any more annoying than it already was at this point. I mean, hell, if I'm a team that's not the Patriots, or even if I am the Patriots, I'd be asking myself, is this dude going to be in his new playbook? Or is he going to be in his iPhone all damn day, every day? You're Tom Brady. You're regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time. That's your resume when it comes to free agency. That's it. You don't need anything else. You don't need to hype yourself anymore than that already. You don't need to remind anybody of what you've done. And most of all, you don't need to be acting like we're hanging on every click or every like, or think that you're somehow dictating the conversation or controlling it. You're not, man. You're acting like a dope. And you keep on doing it relentlessly. Man, stop. You're degrading yourself and your rep and your legacy with every one of these posts, likes, or stupid stories. And the worst part is, there's like no sign of this guy stopping. And don't tell me this is some media thing, and that the media is making this out to be more than what it really is, and that it really is just one quarterback hyping another, because that's not what that is. He's not doing it for anybody else. He's not doing that to tip his hat to Philip Rivers.
because he's not doing it for anybody else. He's just doing it for the team that he is rumored to be leaving the Pats for. Look, Tom Brady is pretty smart. Pretty annoying, but pretty smart. He knows how the media works. He knows how to duck. He knows how to dodge questions. He knows how people will respond when he tries to rip his piece of the spotlight. He knows how to avoid attention when he wants to, but he doesn't want to anymore. He wants to keep raising more questions. Time and time again, he wants you talking about where he might go, whether or not he's going to stay or if he's going to leave. Even though there's nothing new to talk about. I said it last week, I'll say it again. There has not been a more tedious offseason soap opera in the history of the NFL than Tom Brady and his future. Brett Favre's annual indecision, Darrell Revis's holdouts every year, both were better than this terrible story. And it's nearly impossible to avoid. Like, there's going to come a point where I just stop talking about it, and that point is coming sooner than later. But for the moment, let me just say this. We're talking about a guy who has 6 rings and apparently no life right now. And that is not easy to have or to do. Dude, put your phone down. Like, we get it. You're a free agent. We know. We're just tired of begging you to stay, man. Do what the hell you're going to do. Just do it. Do it. And does anybody really think there's anywhere he would go other than L.A., if not New England? I mean, come on, really? It's L.A. or it's New England, and you have to assume it's going to be New England. So why are we going through all this? Man, put your phone down, dude. Just put it down. It's a really weird deal as it relates to Valentine's Day. And I've got all week to get to this, but I might get to it today. Don't look now. Valentine's Day is Friday. And by don't look now, I mean you probably should have already looked by now or you're already screwed. You're not going to get a good reservation. You're not going to get good service. It's not going to go well if you haven't already hooked it up. Now you might say, I don't care, Rome, because I got nothing but beef. I don't have Valentine, but I got beef. That's the good news. There is good news. If you're in a really good relationship and you need Valentine's plans, you're on your own. However, if you're not in a good relationship and, in fact, you have an ex that you're sweating, I've got good news for you. Better yet, the San Antonio Zoo has good news for you. Wild story. That's coming up a little bit later on. And an XFL update. I'm loaded with beef. Have you noticed this segment never not works? Every week when we have a beef segment, the beef segment works. We never run out of beef. So that's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. The beef segment is next, and then the JLC segment is after that. Hiring the right people is one of the best ways to help grow your business, but it should not take time away from your other priorities. With LinkedIn Jobs, it does not have to. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you're looking for so you can hire the right person quickly. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. This is how LinkedIn makes sure that your job post is seen by the people you want to hire, people with the skills, qualifications, and other interests that will help your business grow. It's no wonder that a person is hired every 8 seconds with LinkedIn. And why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the #1 hiring platform for delivering quality hires. So find the right person for your business with LinkedIn Jobs today. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/Rome. LinkedIn.com/Rome and get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Time to beef. Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that's going to rock your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What's your beef? I've got some tweets. I've got some emails. The phone calls are not as good. It is your last chance. If you want to call in with a beef, do it. 1-800-636-8686. At Garbage Man Brad tweets,
garbage.
My beef is people that pump their arms and want me to honk my horn. I drive a garbage truck, not an 18-wheeler, you morons. That's a good beef. Let this guy do his work, man. It's not an 18-wheeler. It's a garbage truck.
Garbage.
Wells in the 360 tweets, my beef is with Renee Zellweger. It's not fair that she got to ramble on and on without getting her mic cut off. Signed, Connie Celica. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. You were not there that night. There were a couple hundred of us in attendance who know what happened. You were not there, Wells. Keep her name out your tweet. This is an email. Dear Jim, my beef is with women over two bills wearing yoga and or workout pants in public. When did going to the grocery store require stuffing a pot belly, love handles, and extra wide birthing hips into a pair of stretch pants that even J-Lo couldn't pull off at the Super Bowl show? Thanks, Jim in Temecula. Damn, dude, really? Stay classy, Jim. Body shame much? Hey, dude, what are you, the most ripped dude in the history of the world? Are you shredded? That's not a beef. It's just a bad take. Really bad email. This guy's going long form. Rome, I have a beef. I have a beef with all the losers who have been whining all week about the halftime show and a couple of women daring to show a little sexuality. These are performers. These are adults. Stop trying to police everyone's behavior to make them as boring as you are. These are the same people who were cheering and high-fiving Tyreek Hill Sunday night. This man admitted to punching his pregnant fiance in the stomach. This man is suspected of abusing his 3-year-old son and breaking his arm. This man is on tape calling his wife, quote, a bitch, and telling her she should be terrified of him and you're offended by the halftime show. Get a life. Nate in GR. Were the Lions pulling a 49ers-esque turnaround next year, but finishing the job? Dear Jim, my beef is with the proposed MLB playoff format. I understand trying to stay relevant and reinvent yourself, but this proposal sounds like an 80s actress resorting to Botox and diet supplements. Age gracefully, MLB. Thanks, Mark. In parts unknown. It's well done, Mark. Romy. She's back for more. Nikki's in twice. My beef is with my second grade student trying to forge a parent's signature on a failed assignment with crayon signed Mom. I mean, put a little effort in. Thanks. Signed Nikki. Teaching them. Hey, Rome. Yeah, I have another beef. This time it's with the adult idiots that dress up in a tiger costume and walk around the PGA tournament with Tiger Woods is playing. Oh, and you know there will be a couple of them at Riviera this week. Hey, adult bags. If you're over 6 years old and wearing a tiger costume in public, we all think you look stupid, including Tiger Woods. Aaron in Iowa. Rome, my beef is with German shepherds and their owners. Their dogs are not cute, cuddly dogs. They are aggressive, dangerous animals. Have you seen the video of Mark Ingram getting taken down by one of these dogs? They may be friendly when you drive up, but when I drive up to your house, they see an intruder who needs to be taken down. Do not order a package and put me at risk of being your dog's chew toy. Signed, FedEx guy. Angry emoji. That reminds me of something. I was watching the best movie ever made last night. Not Die Hard. What is the best movie ever made? White Chicks. Hawk nailed it. I stopped on White Chicks last night. An amazing scene where that dog is chewing my man up. So good. He's like, we're just having fun. He's family. Dog busts through the door. Hey, Romy, my beef is with the space between the front seats of your car and the middle console. You know, that narrow void around where you buckle your seatbelt. Everything slides in there and it never comes out. Keys, credit cards, pretzels, the Bermuda Triangle. Cannot believe all the stuff that it makes. Ever falls in there, she will wish she was back in that well. Casey in New Hampshire, I was going to compliment you for the first time ever, Casey, until you went with the baby Jessica reference. Let's go to the Natty. Logan in Cincinnati. Logan, what's your beef?
Mr. Rome, my beef is when I'm coming home at night and I'm starving and I call my wife and I go, I'm getting food. What do you want? I get nothing. I go, I'll go here. I'll go anywhere you want. She goes, I want nothing. I can call three or four times. She says, I want nothing. When I get home with my food, she eats all my freaking food.
It's great. All right, Rackham. So let me guess, your beef is with your wife. Hey, honey, yeah, I'm going to stop by and get some takeout. What do you want? And I'm good. No, really, what do you want? I'm good. What would you like? Would you like Mexican food? Would you like Italian? Would you like Thai? Would you like Chinese? Would you like a salad? Anything. Would you like a steak? Really, honey, I'm good. Okay. All right, I'll see you in a little bit. Come home, he's got himself a little number one combo, enchilada and taco. Yeah, that's for me. What are you having? Nice job, Logan. She eats all my food. Let's go to Santa Barbara. Jamie in Santa Barbara. Jamie, what's going on?
Jay Philip Rome, thanks. My beef is with high school basketball parents in the stands, right? They don't know the rules. They're screaming at the officials. Here are the three things that tick me off the most. 3 seconds, right? You can't have a 3 second call when the shot's in the air. You can't have a 3 second call when the kid is gathering for a shot in the air, right? It wipes the 3 seconds. Know the rules. Also, coach, when you have a 6'7" kid on your team and you're crying to me because you want me to call 3 seconds on the 5'7" point guard, it's not happening, brother. I'm not making that call. And over the back. It's not a thing. You ever hear me call over the back after I report the foul? No, it's a push. It's a push, okay? There is no such thing as over the back. And finally, it's this one, and there's so many different variations of it. Call it both ways, ref. No joke. A couple weeks ago, this mom hollers at me, ref, you got to call it both ways. Lady, we're 45 seconds into the game. You haven't even given me a shot to call it both ways. And then just last week, well, in your neighborhood, I'm at Calabasas High School. It's a tight game. Newbury Park is visiting. They're playing for seedings. Someone in the stand goes, ref, call it both ways. There's 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I look up, 8 fouls to 8. I wish I could just turn around and tell this guy to shut up. Thanks, Rome. I appreciate it.
You got it, Jamie. You feel better? Well done. The What's Your Beef segment. Hey, easy, Gene Steratore. That guy was funny, actually. He was like 5 seconds into his phone call. I'm like, let me guess, this is a referee. Hey, ref, call it both ways. Ma'am, the game is 8 seconds old. I love how he dropped into, I was in your old neighborhood, Rome, at Calabasas High School. They were playing Newbury Park. Very important game for seedings. Hey, ref, call it both ways. Yeah, there's 8 fouls on both sides. He was worked up. If that segment stood only for that guy, existed only for the ref, the high school ref, that would have been fine. My man, was that cathartic? Was that therapeutic? Do you feel better? He sounded so much better at the end of the phone call than he did when it started. Like, man, damn. Glad I got that off my chest, Rome. Thanks. Really quickly, let's go to Dallas. Wrapping the What's Your Beef segment, Matt. Matt, what is your beef?
I got a beef, man. I live downtown. Everybody with a fast car or motorcycle always revs their engine. Why? Nobody cares. That's my beef.
Rack him. Nice job, Matt. So he's downtown, right? He's probably like in a loft or a high rise, or he's in town. So you got a bunch of people with muscle cars and fast cars. You got to flex on everybody. And they don't live there, right? They don't care. What do you expect? They're going to buy a fast car and not drive it? They're going to drive buy a loud car and not rev it? Man, I love that beef segment. It's incredible. It still works. I was a little concerned that when we debuted that thing and it was awesome, that, yeah, it's going to be great once or twice or three times. It's great every single time we do it. Sure it is, Hawk. That was one of my favorite ones ever, that beef segment, because the beefs were great on the phones, the tweets, and the emails. You nailed it, clones. If I'm going to hold you accountable and crack you when you get deserve to be cracked, I have to prop you when you earn that. Well done. All right, so when we come back, Jason Lockenfora joins us. Free agency right around the corner. The draft right around the corner. Combine right around the corner. NFL never stops. JLC, when we return. A lot more to get to after that, too. Phone lines are still open.
Thank you. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tuesday night, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. A top-in takeover as Obi and number 6 Dayton take on Jacob and the Rhode Island Rams, only on CBS Sports Network. Lots to cover with my man. He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today during the regular season and the postseason. He is a very good friend of the program. In fact, at this point, he's just fam. He is family. Which is where I'm going to start with him. Jason Lockenfora joins us. Jason, good to have you back. How are you?
Always good to chat with you, my friend. How are you?
Same. Great, great. Good to have you back. I want to start right here. You had your first full weekend at home since July, JLC. Yeah. How was it, and how did you and the family spend it?
It was good. Pretty low-key. Took one of my kids to go see a major, I don't even know what it's called anymore. It used to be the MISL, I don't know, the Indoor Soccer League, Baltimore Blast against the Rochester Lancers. So we did that on Saturday. Sunday, my other son had a basketball game. Just ran around, you know, went to breakfast with the kids, slept in my own bed on a Friday and a Saturday night. It was a good thing. I'm always happy for it. Didn't see that much of the XFL, but I'm sure I'll have plenty of time to catch up on that.
All right. Were you able to sleep in at all? What time did you wake up?
Oh, I mean, 7:30-ish. So,
not
no, you know, I may
not
have slept
bad.
Till 8 one day. But, I mean, that's whatever. It's all good.
I
figure, you know, once they're all in college, I'll sleep.
JLC joining us. Exactly right. Now, I want to get to your plan for the Bengals in 1 minute, but you and I have been talking about Philip Rivers and his status with the Chargers for months now. How weird is it then? Is it going to see, if this is what it comes to see him in another uniform next season? And if you had to say right now, what is the most likely destination?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it will be odd. He's got such a unique throwing motion, right? Like you conjure an image of Philip Rivers, and it doesn't look like anybody else with the javelin throwing, and he's always had the lightning bolt right over his shoulder while it looks like he's throwing the javelin. So it'll look different, but I mean, you know, I can remember Joe Montana as a Chief. You know, this stuff, it you know, it tends to happen. Peyton Manning as a Bronco, et cetera. I think Tampa or Indianapolis, Jim. We probably talked about it all the way back in November when I started hearing that it was very unlikely that Rivers would be back with the Chargers. Indianapolis, that they've made it clear there that they're not beholden to Jacoby Brissett, and obviously their head coach, Frank Reich, is very familiar with Rivers from having coached him with the Chargers. And, you know, the Bucs are doing a dance right now with Jameis Winston, and maybe that ends up with a tag of some sort, or maybe it ends up with some sort of creative deal. If it doesn't, though, for where Bruce Arians is at this stage of his career, frankly, this stage of his life and all the the health battles that he's fought. I don't know that he's looking to break in some second or third round quarterback on a 3 or 4 year plan. I think with the weapons they have on offense, Phillip Rivers, he still wants to push the ball downfield. He's got that swashbuckler in him that Bruce Arians, you know, pretty much demands. It might be a fit.
Jason Lockenfora joining me. Now, you've made the point, Jason, that the Chargers could do a lot worse than signing Tom Brady and still drafting Justin Herbert. How likely is it that they take that route?
I mean, look, they're both very real avenues for them. Tom Brady, and again, we've been talking about this on the NFL Today since November, he's very open to the possibility of playing for the Chargers, and there aren't that many scenarios outside of Foxborough that get the wheels spinning with, you know, team TB12, but that is certainly one that does. For the geography, the creature comforts, the weather, the fact they've already had a mansion in Malibu, the fact that he spends off seasons throwing at USC anyway, Tom House, his throwing guy, is there, Alex Guerrero, his trainer, is there, all his Hollywood buddies are there, his post-playing career is likely going to be in Hollywood and Tinseltown as a movie mogul, producer, something involved with the media. We all saw his cryptic Netflix commercial right around the Super Bowl. I mean, it's not a you don't have to guess what his second career is going to be. It's going to be something involved in the media, and where better to be, or Hollywood production, whatever, than right there in this beautiful $4 billion odd, you know, dollar football Taj Mahal that Stan Kroenke's building. So, you know, if they approach this the right way, and if the Chargers roll out the red carpet and do some un-Charger-like things in terms of wooing a guy like Tom Brady, they've got a real shot.
Jason Lockenfora, my guest. All right, so going back to the other point then, that all makes so much sense to me. If the Chargers were to sign Brady, do you think that he would be okay with them using the first pick on a future quarterback, or would he be pushing them to use it on a player that can come in and help immediately?
I mean, look, in a perfect world, you're getting more help because it's only a couple years for Brady. But I've talked to enough people close to him who say he recognizes this for what it is. It's his last bite at the apple. This is his, you know, whether it's Foxborough or somewhere else, he's got a couple of more years left, and then it's obviously over for good. And part of his legacy, he wants to be tied to leaving whichever franchise he goes to in a good place and not having them being left in the lurch and helping develop this quarterback, whoever the young guy may be. And does this TB12 stuff, the training regimens, the avocado ice cream, could that work for somebody else as well? He thinks it can, and he's obviously completely devoted to that mindset. So I don't think you'd have any questions about, oh, is he going to be passive-aggressive, or which Tom's mindset going to be. It's going to be about helping this next guy be ready to take over when he leaves. So I think he would totally understand the situation. And you know, he's 43 years old. That is what it is. Father Time only goes in one direction.
All right, GLC, what about your plan for the Bengals? Now, you've got a piece up right now on CBSSports.com where you break it all down. They've got the top pick. Joe Burrow is right there. But there have been some hints and some rumblings that maybe he does not want to go to Cincinnati. First of all, if you're a Bengals fan, how much should that worry you?
I mean, it should worry you because ownership there, Mike Brown is a throwback guy, and he can be pretty stubborn, and he can be pretty ornery, and he's got a mindset of what, you know, draftable players should be like, and we've got all the control and they don't, you know. But the reality is it's not as cut and dry as that. It's Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning. So, yeah, the scenario is a little different under this collective bargaining agreement, but you can still rattle some chains and make things be known if in fact Burrow isn't comfortable with the Bengals as we get closer to the draft. The reality is that they could approach this a couple different ways and still have a potentially good quarterback for this year and have options open for the long term as well. I mean, they have to trade Andy Dalton. They should have benched him a week before they did and traded him at the deadline. But regardless, could you get a 2 or 3 for Dalton? I don't think it's out of the question. Rosen went for a 2 last year. And then can you use that draft collateral along with the first pick you already have in the second round and the first pick you have in the third round to then go throw 3 or 4 picks at a Cam Newton, knowing if Newton plays well, then you could always franchise him and trade him and get another haul plus the haul you're getting to move out of first overall this year if you do get a caretaker like Newton. And now you're in position to get Lawrence the following year or move up and down the board however you like. And if Cam Newton is healthy, you can tag him and continue with him and keep building assets around him with the haul you'd get for first overall. I mean, look, when Washington moved up from, what, 7 to 2 to get RG3 in 2012, it was 3 ones, a 2, and a 3. You could get more than that in this scenario, somebody going to 1 for Burrow. So if I'm the Bengals, I'm being a realist about this, and I'm keeping all my options open. But saying all that, this is also the team that pretended the trade deadline didn't exist. So I'm probably, you know, talking into the abyss here. But if they were a little bit creative and a little bit progressive, they could really flip the league on its ear this offseason.
No, I think that's really thought-provoking, what you lay out there. You did a really good job of laying the entire thing out. Now, if they did all that, JLC, if they took your advice and they got that boatload of picks and that haul of draft choices, how much confidence would you have that they would actually do the right thing with all of those assets?
Well, I mean, you're not going to hit on all of them. I mean, I think history would show us in a lot of these trades those picks don't always turn into players, right? I mean, the Browns sat on a ton of picks, didn't do much with it. Go look at the return for the RG3 trade in terms of what the Rams got. It didn't turn out to be what you would have hoped. But I like, you know, volume can't hurt, right? If we're throwing darts, the more darts you can throw, the better chance you have that some land somewhere near that bullseye. And that could be a team that's not, I think offensively, they have the potential to be kind of interesting sooner rather than later. And if you could pump all those draft picks into the defense, who knows, man? It doesn't have to take forever. But again, we're probably wasting our breath.
All right, so Jason, before you go really quickly, for all the attention being paid to Tom Brady and the Pats, the Saints have got a quarterback situation of their own, starting with the fact that Drew Brees is reportedly considering retirement. What is your sense as to where his head is on that, and what kind of a timeline is he using to announce his decision?
I mean, he's absolutely. I mean, he's not pulling any punches. He's made it clear publicly and privately that he needs to sit on this in a way he never has before. And he's said, I want to take a month to make this decision. I've never heard Drew Brees speak like that before. Drew Brees had always been basically mimicking Tom Brady's talking points, which are, my mind feels great, my body feels great, I think I could play till I'm 45. That's not where Drew Brees is right now. And the fact that he's gone down this road already in so much as being willing to at least say, I'm going to need a good period of time here to make a decision, that tells me that there's probably a pretty good chance that he's done. And where does that leave the Saints? You've got Teddy Bridgewater, who you can try to retain. I don't think they can keep him and Taysom Hill. And I know that Sean Payton thinks Taysom Hill can win in this league. He might have to do it a little bit differently than what we're accustomed to, and certainly differently than how they did it with Drew Brees. But he feels like that's an impact football player that has more to be called out of him. So, yeah, this is going to be a crazy offseason, bud.
He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. And, of course, you can watch Jason Lockenfora every Sunday on the NFL Today during the regular season and the postseason. JLC, thank you so much. Great to have you back.
Always my pleasure, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You too. Jason Lockenfora. The thing about Taysom Hill, remember we had him on during Super Bowl week. I love the guy. Everybody there loves the guy. His teammates love him. The coaches love him. The organization loves him. There's no doubt in my mind he could play quarterback in that league. He said something really interesting this week. Taysom Hill said, I firmly believe in my heart that I'm a franchise quarterback. Hey, listen, I would expect him to think that. You have to think that, right? I was a little surprised that he said it. And not in any way put off by it, but a little bit surprised that he said it. Now, he also said, I love Drew Brees. I hope he does come back. But you've got Teddy Bridgewater, who played pretty well. And then you've got the ultimate X factor in Taysom Hill. I want to see this guy play. If Drew Brees does not come back, I want to see Taysom Hill start. Not as a change of pace guy, but I want to see him start and what he can do. Because I think he's going to do some amazing things. Our third hour is an open